Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we've been continuing our discussion of learning how to deal with sorrow. We're specifically talking about the sorrow we experience over choices we've made. It's called regret or guilt. Regret is sorrow aroused by circumstances beyond our power to change. When we make choices or decisions that produce unexpected negative results that can't be undone, we experience regret. Those choices can range from actual bad choices, where we made a bad choice, to what we thought were good choices, but it didn't turn out like we had hoped, all the way up to sinful choices. Now, next week, we'll get into sinful choices. We haven't really addressed that at all this week. It's Friday, so we got a lot to cover here. Let me get right to it. We have been focusing on something that happened to David as an example of how to deal with the regret that comes over decisions that produce unintended negative consequences. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David was on the run from King Saul. He and 600 supporters, plus their wives and children, were hiding out in a town called Ziklag in Philistine country. And while David and his men were away on a mission, a local tribe came and raided the city, burned it to the ground, and carried off all their loved ones into captivity. David and his men came back to a pile of ashes, and all their loved ones are gone. 1 Samuel 30 tells us they wept until they could weep no more. David was greatly distressed, we're told in verse 6. I mean, he brought these people to this place. He's lost his own wives. He's greatly distressed. And then the people's grief over their losses turned to bitterness, which led to anger, which led to them talking about stoning him to death to get revenge because they're blaming him. And we said, no doubt everybody in here is playing the if-only game. If only we hadn't followed David into Philistine territory. If only we had stayed at Ziklag instead of going on that mission. If only we'd come back a day earlier. And David, he's a real person, no doubt on top of the grief he's experiencing because he's lost his own family and the fear he's feeling because they're talking about killing him, stoning him to death. He's feeling regret. This is my fault that these people have lost their families. So you can see there's just a jumble of emotions going on here. But we're told in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's our key here. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now let me review a couple key points. You gotta stop the if-only game. If only we hadn't been away from the city. If only we hadn't followed David into Philistine country. If only we had come back a day earlier. If only focuses on what can't be undone. And focusing on what can't be undone doesn't do anything profitable. You can't deal with the situation as it should have been. You can only deal with it as it is. And as it is right now, it's bad. So you need to put your focus on God. And that's just what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And we pointed out that that word means fasten there, encourage. He fastened himself on God and his word. The New American Bible says it that way, but with renewed trust in the Lord. David renewed his trust in the Lord. Trust is the Old Testament counterpart for faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know from Psalms, other Psalms written by David, that when he was feeling emotional distress, he would focus on God's word to him. He had Joshua's example. When God put Joshua in charge of leading Israel into the promised land, he told him, be strong. I'll be with you. I will not leave you. I'll go with you wherever you go, just like I did with Moses. And then he said, keep my written word in your mouth, in your mind, in your heart, day and night. Meditate on it. Think about it. Talk about it. By that time, Joshua had Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy written down for him to focus on. Well, David renewed his trust in the Lord. David had examples from the scripture. By the time of David, a few more books had been written. Judges would have been written by that point. He had basically the Bible, quote, that Joshua had. He would have had Joshua's own book, and he would have had Judges available to him at that point. What would he have had to encourage himself with in the written record that was completed by the time David was in this situation? Well, he would have had Joshua's example. He had the whole story written down for him. And sure enough, if we turn to the end of the book of Joshua, let me just read one verse. This is Joshua 23, verse 14. And behold, this day, this is Joshua talking, I'm going the way of all the earth. In other words, Joshua's old and he's going to die. He says, I'm going to die. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. He had the example. God told Joshua at the get-go, if you want to be successful at what I've called you to, fasten yourself onto my written word. Well, many years later, at the end of Joshua's life, David could look at the written record. God kept his word. He fulfilled every promise to him. So David could encourage himself with that, renew his trust in the Lord with that. And he had two stunning examples of kidnappings that turned out right by the power of God. See, because that's what he's facing here. The city's been burned to the ground, and their wives and children have been taken captive. He had the example of his ancestor Abraham, whose nephew Lot was kidnapped, along with his household and possessions by a confederation of kings. That's recorded in Genesis chapter 14. Well, God helped Abraham get it all back. He got it all back, if you read Genesis 14. David had that with which to encourage himself in this awful situation. Instead of focusing on the if-onlys, if only I hadn't, if only I would have, if only I shouldn't, he focused on the written word of God. David also had the example of Joseph, who was kidnapped by his own brothers and sold into slavery and told their father, Jacob, that Joseph was dead. Now, in this case, Joseph was gone for many years, but the family was eventually reunited, and God brought tremendous good out of it all. That's an awesome story, Genesis chapters 37 through 50. Joseph was eventually reunited. Jacob got his son back, and tremendous good was worked out of the whole situation. Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph said to his brothers after they were reunited, he said, you meant this for evil, but God worked it for good. That's the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament. God takes genuine evil and brings genuine good out of it. So David knew, no matter how this turns out, whether there's immediate deliverance and we immediately recover our families, or whether there's an ultimate restoration and reunion ahead for us, this is not bigger than God. He had the example in Genesis chapter 18, where when Abraham and Sarah were too old to have children, God said to him, nothing's too hard for me. Nothing's bigger than me. Nothing's impossible for me. So David encouraged himself. Now, how did all this turn out for David? Well, instead of being moved by his emotions and doing something crazy, like his companions had been talking about doing, or getting caught in a pit of despair and regret, David, with renewed trust in the Lord, asked God what he should do. If we keep reading here in 1 Samuel chapter 30, he went to the high priest and got direction from God. I don't have time to read it. You can read the rest of the chapter. But God told him, God spoke to him and said, pursue the kidnappers and you'll get it all back. And that's exactly what happened. See, if you let your emotions dominate, it is much harder to hear from God and get direction as to what to do. We've all made decisions that didn't turn out as we had hoped for a multitude of reasons. All of us feel regret over choices we've made. But if we'll trust God, number one, He'll use it and cause it to serve His purposes, like He did when the brothers kidnapped Joseph. His purposes are maximum glory to Himself and maximum good for as many people as possible. Now, those are whole other lessons for other days, but if we'll trust God, He'll use it. When decisions don't turn out as you had hoped, remember these points as you deal with your emotions. Resist the temptation to play that blame game, even if you or someone else is at fault. In a lot of circumstances, it is, quote, somebody's fault. Even if it is your own fault or someone else's fault, it's not bigger than God. Don't feed the if-only questions raised by your emotions. What if Abraham had allowed himself to be incapacitated by the anguish of, if only I hadn't let my nephew Lot choose the Jordan Plain as the place to settle when we separated? I could have protected him, if only. Or what if Joseph had fixated on, if only I hadn't gone to check on my brothers that day, I would never be in this spot. Or if David had focused on, why did I ever come to this place? None of them would have been able to move past their challenges and access God's direction, help, and provision. None of us can change what we've done, so there's no point in agonizing over our choices. If, in hindsight, you realize mistakes you did make in your decision-making processes, maybe you did do something you shouldn't have done, learn from it and then move on. Vow not to repeat it and move on. Commit them and the consequences to God. God is a God of restitution and recovery, some of it in this life and some of it in the life to come. Look at it and say, this is temporary and it's subject to change by the power of God. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Be prepared to battle your emotions. They are real and they are powerful, but they will ease with the passage of time if you don't feed them. Although you can't stop yourself, you can't will yourself to stop feeling them, you don't have to follow the dictates of your emotion, and you don't have to feed them. Feed your faith with God's word. Talk to yourself about God, His love, His faithfulness, His power. Remind yourself of reality as it truly is. Call to memory what you know, despite what you see and how you feel. Remember God's past help, His promise of present and future provision, and praise the Lord. More next week.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.